President Obama addressed the nation about U.S. involvement in Libya last night.
In just 1 month, the United States has worked with our international partners to mobilize a broad coalition, secure an international mandate to protect civilians, stop an advancing army, prevent a massacre, and establish a no-fly zone with our allies and partners.
So, did the U.S. do the right thing? Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is coming up on 7:37 on this Tuesday, March the 29th. We welcome your questions, your reactions to what President Obama had to say about why the U.S. intervened in Libya. And our guest will answer your questions at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our guest is John Peavyhouse, professor of political science and public affairs at UW-Madison, co-author of Principles of International Relations. He joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning.
So did President Obama clarify what we're doing and why last night?
He did. I think this was an address that was needed in many ways. I think there's a lot of uncertainty in the public about why we're doing this exactly and what's the impetus for us to be getting so heavily involved in this, what it just appears to be a civil war, you know, a long way away from the United States.
Yeah, did he fail to make the case up until now?
I don't know that he failed to make the case, but I think what the public had been lacking was just kind of the narrative, like this, like why we're there. You could get it in dribs and drabs. You kind of had to look for it, but in terms of a very clear statement, kind of laying out what the administration thought the threat was, and what at least in some short term sense we had hoped to accomplish with the no fly zone and the anti tank zone.
Yeah, so he. He said that we had to go into Libya at that moment, otherwise there could have been a massacre of people.
There could have been a tremendous humanitarian disaster, that's right. And, you know, that, I think, is the main justification, and that's why we were, you know, the Americans really from the beginning have not necessarily led the charge. We certainly have led the military effort over the last week or so, but we did not lead the diplomatic charge necessarily to put this coalition together. We were centrally involved, but it's been the French and some of the European allies that really pushed hard to intervene in Libya and to get some type of military action against Gaddafi, again, largely out of the fear that as Gaddafi's forces moved back against the rebels, as he had taken some of the momentum in the civil war, that once they got to Benghazi, once they got to some of these eastern strongholds, that he would essentially commit mass atrocities once he got to these cities. And he had threatened several times to, you know, give some people an opportunity to leave, but then also, after that opportunity, go house to house and root out whoever was left. And so I think what most diplomats, what most observers feared was the worst, is that this would be, you know, a form of Bosnia all over again. This would be, at worst case, something like Rwanda all over again. And many people in the international community were not willing to sit back and let that happen.
Yeah. Did he make the case why get involved in Libya and not some other countries where civilians were being killed?
That was interesting. Not necessarily. He did implicitly, but he certainly did not explicitly do that. And in fact, the mention of other states, of other countries undergoing these democratic revolutions or just these revolutions was sorely missing from the talk. And you know, with some of these other countries like Bahrain and Yemen, who are much stronger American allies, there's obviously a much kind of finer line to be walking there between, you know, supporting the change, supporting the revolution, and supporting these dictators in these cases, or these monarchs who have been staunch U.S. allies over the years. I think implicitly he made it in the sense of, yes, there are innocent people being repressed in these other countries, but not potentially to the scale that it had at least been threatened in Libya.
Yeah, did he convince us that this is going to be a limited military intervention?
I don't know if he convinced people. It has to be, though. I mean, one thing to think about is kind of who was he addressing last night? I mean, obviously he was addressing the American public. Very key that he did that, like I say, I think to put forth the core mission of what we're doing in Libya. But, you know, he was also addressing the Arab world as well with this. And, you know, what he kept, one of the themes he kept coming back to wasn't just multilateralism, but it was the limited nature of what at least U.S. involvement was going to be in terms of, you know, no-fly zones, stopping humanitarian disaster, but not physically going in and getting Gaddafi. That's going to be left to the rebels. And I thought, you know, it was very interesting that he was just so in the open and saying, look, if we did this, our coalition would fall apart. That's, you know, during the Gulf War when President Bush, 1981, put together that coalition, that was always implicit in everything, was that we didn't go after Saddam Hussein at that point because it would splinter the coalition. But I found it interesting from a historical perspective that Obama came out and just flat out said, we can't do this because diplomatically.
Mm-hmm. Yet the U.S. Policy is, and President Obama has said, that Gaddafi must go.
That's right. Gaddafi must go. And so he's trying to walk a fine line. Actually, there's several places he's trying to walk a fine line, right? I mean, he's trying to tell the Arab world and our allies, we're supporting you, we're supporting the rebels, but we're not going to go too far. You know, he's telling Gaddafi, we're not going to personally come in and get you, but you need to step down. And so the question is, what's the scenario by which that happens, if it does happen? And, you know, how long, how much can NATO and the United States push on the ground militarily and keep the Arab coalition together? You know, same with the American people, right? Like, if this is in our national interest, we have to do this. But I'm trying to guarantee that we don't have a really long war like we had in Iraq and Afghanistan.
So, from what we know now, is that going to be the case? Is this going to be a short military presence or involvement in Libya?
I worry it's not. I think there's certainly some scenarios by which it is short. I mean, there are two things that I'm concerned about. One is the rebels have been advancing the last couple of days behind the Allied airstrikes. They've hit a brick wall at this point, a CERT, which is between Tripoli and Benghazi, sort of right in the center of the country. And this is a traditional stronghold of Gaddafi. It's where his own tribal group hails from. He has spent the last 3 decades militarily reinforcing his hometown. There are a lot of mercenaries that are reported to have retired there over the years. That Gaddafi's always relied pretty heavily on mercenaries. So it's a militarily strategically important place that seems to have tremendous loyalty to Gaddafi. So you look at Tripoli, you look at Sirte, there are these places where the rebels are just going to have trouble, I think, making military progress. And so then, you know, the question is, militarily, do you end up with a stalemate? And I think there's a high potential for that. I think the flip side is, well, okay, could you work something out diplomatically? And I think that's going to be tough too, ironically, for the same reason that you got the no-fly zone in the first place, which is that Gaddafi is widely reviled in the Arab world. I mean, he has almost no allies. And, you know, you see these pictures of him with all these other Middle Eastern leaders and European leaders, you know, kind of yucking it up. But this was all sort of a face. I mean, no one really has ever liked Gaddafi that much because he's always been terribly involved in their own politics. And so you're not going to, I don't think, get a clear diplomatic solution to this either, with sort of him quietly stepping down with some of his Arab friends or Arab allies promising him, oh, well, you can come and retire to wherever. So if the military is a stalemate and the diplomatic options, I think, are pretty slim, you kind of have to wonder, you know, what does the end game look like?
We are talking with John Peavy House, professor of political science and public affairs at UW-Madison, about U.S. Military operations intervention in Libya and what President Obama had to say about that last night. Did he convince you that the U.S. Did the right thing, is doing the right thing? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. It's going to be a partly to mostly cloudy and cool day today, with high temperatures from the mid-30s to the low 40s. Cold tonight with lows in the teens to low 20s, and sunny and cool tomorrow, but a little bit warmer with highs upper 30s to mid 40s. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
I said that America's role would be limited, and that we would not put ground troops into Libya, that we would focus our unique capabilities on the front end of the operation, and that we would transfer responsibility to our allies and partners. Tonight, we are fulfilling that pledge.
That's President Obama addressing the nation last night on Libya, and we are talking about his address and the mission there with John Peavyhouse, professor of political science and public affairs at UW-Madison, co-author of Principles of International Relations. And we're welcoming your reactions to what the president had to say last night about U.S. involvement in Libya. And your reactions to that and questions for our guest at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. And before we go to the phones, Professor Peavyhouse, President Obama says he's fulfilling the pledge of limited involvement and turning the responsibility of this all over to our international allies. Is that significant that the U.S. is not going to be in command of this anymore?
I think it is significant for a couple of reasons. One is, as I mentioned earlier, you know, it was Europeans, especially the French, who really led the charge initially to do this operation. And so in some ways, this is turning it back over to the people who got the ball rolling. I think, you know, one of the main themes of his address last night was multilateralism. And there was a lot of, I would say, implicit and explicit criticism of the previous Bush administration and how they chose to do most things relatively, in his eyes, relatively unilaterally. That was a big theme of his. You know, public opinion polls consistently show Americans are far more likely to favor or at least support military intervention when we're sharing the burden with others. And so he was trying to play to that theme. So in that sense, I think it was pretty important. And, you know, the Europeans are interested in this for a variety of reasons, but you know, people have always talked about the oil issue, et cetera. And, you know, I personally don't think it's that huge of an issue in this case. But the one thing that is that we talked about earlier is immigration, essentially. And, you know, what he mentioned about, you know, if this becomes a humanitarian disaster, you've got refugees going into Egypt and Tunisia, but you've also then got them flowing into Europe. So make no mistake that Europe's concerned about the long-term immigration impacts of what would have happened in Libya had this not happened.
Earl in Medford is our first caller. Hi, Earl.
Hi, good morning. I applaud the coalition idea, but I'm very concerned that is this about Mideast oil, because we didn't go into Rwanda, and there were like 700,000 people killed, and there's humanitarian crises all around the world, and we seem to generally wind up in the Middle East somewhere.
It's a great point, and this needs to be addressed, because I think it's a really important issue that Earl raises, you know, and I'll give you my take, and feel free to disagree. I mean, I don't think oil per se is the driving force of this. I do think we obviously, as Earl mentioned, there are humanitarian crises everywhere, and we do tend to pay more attention to the Middle East because it's strategically important for us, and it's strategically important, of course, because of oil. I wouldn't say this is the driving force, but it's a background condition. I would say it's a necessary but not, in some ways, not sufficient condition for us to think about this. I mean, there are other, you know, democratic revolutions that are happening in other states that have oil that we've not gotten involved into. And likewise, you know, we were involved in Somalia and Bosnia and Kosovo on humanitarian missions where their oil really wasn't at stake. But again, I think in terms of keeping our attention, holding our attention, I think the strategic importance of the region for all of these revolutions that have happened, beginning with Tunisia and continuing to today, is at least somewhat shaped by that strategic context, which involves oil.
Thank you very much, Earl. Syed in Fond du Lac is with us. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead, please.
Yes, my question is about the end game, as the professor alluded. Looks like there's no possible solution in sight. There is going to be a stalemate, and the only possible solution is somehow Gaddafi gets killed. And is it the unwritten mission that we are working on without acknowledging it? Because the bombardment on the palace and the killing of his son, basically they point to that strategy that he should be killed somehow through bombardment or some other means. Is it the unacknowledged endgame or mission?
All right. Did you catch that, Professor Peavyhouse?
I did. It's a great question. Yes and no is the answer. I will tell you the way I see this ending, I think, odds are, which is, it's, you know, Gaddafi dead. And I think he will go down fighting to the end, which is unfortunate because I think this will lead to a longer mission. It will lead to far more bloodshed, potentially, than should happen in Libya. you know, there's a meeting today in London. It's going on as we speak, of the coalition and several other Arab states and African Union states. And I can guarantee, and they're talking about humanitarian aid, how to get aid to Libya. They're also talking about the transition, right? What life looks like after Gaddafi. And I guarantee part of that discussion is this, any that political issue I mentioned earlier. Is there anyone who has anything that they could possibly reach out to Gaddafi with to try to get him to back down? Now, I am skeptical that that would work, but I believe they're trying. You know, I think if we openly wanted to kill Gaddafi, I think we could have done a much harder job. I think we could have, in other words, tried harder to do that. We have bombed parts of the palace, but not the whole palace. We've bombed the parts that we believe are part of the military, you know, command and control. You know, the report that his son has been killed in some of these bombings has not been confirmed by some. We're not sure exactly what's going on. And I think if it was an open attempt to kill him, I think that would splinter the coalition. So I think that's why you're not seeing it. But the end game could look very ugly. And I think the question is, I think it will be ugly, and I think the question is just how long it's going to take.
Thank you, Syed. Well, let's take a listen to the reaction of Republican Senator John McCain of Arizona. He last night was criticizing the president's stance of not removing Gaddafi by force.
We can, by keeping up the sustained pressure and movement, that Gaddafi can be removed. If we tell Gaddafi, don't worry, you're not going to be removed by force, I think that that's very encouraging to Gaddafi.
So is that encouraging to Gaddafi?
Well, it is in some ways sending him a mixed message, but, you know, as McCain himself should realize, the problem is the other half of his party thinks we shouldn't even be there. And frankly, a chunk of the Democratic Party thinks we shouldn't even be involved. And I think this is the challenge to Obama is, you know, he's got both the Democrats and the Republicans split between you haven't done enough and you're doing too much. And he's got the Arab League saying we've got to do something, but you can't kill Gaddafi. So we're trying to walk this line. And frankly, on the international side, this is the downside of multilateralism, right? Is you actually have to listen to everyone and try to chart some middle course between what they all want. And on the domestic side, you know, he's trying to battle what is surely, you know, a decade now, nearing a decade of just sort of exhaustion with wars in the Middle East, with concerns over the impact of this on the deficit, with concern over the continuing, you know, state of the U.S. economy. But at the same time, you know, as he put it, not wanting to look back like we do on Rwanda now and say, boy, we really should have done something about that.
Do you think the president's address in any way answered his critics on the left or the right?
Probably not. You know, historically, and I've done some work on this, you know, historically, once people set out their objections, rarely do those get satisfied on either side of the political aisle. And there's been a lot of concern that in Congress that he didn't come to them and didn't get permission. And I, you know, my own belief on that is if you look, the majority of these are Republicans. And just like in Iraq, the majority were Democrats. Again, talked about this in previous appearances, it's often a partisan thing, which is unfortunate, but it's not an illegitimate argument, but it's often a partisan argument, unfortunately. But the address in and of itself to the people, I think, might change things in that if the American public now becomes more supportive, you might see a few people in Congress start to quiet down or drop some of their objections.
Wesley on Facebook writes, we need to take care of our own country for a change. We need military intervention in our corporate takeover of our country. If there's money for war, there's money for teachers and infrastructure. The president did address the cost of this, too, last night, didn't he?
He did, and he addressed the cost for this very reason, that you know, we're still sitting in an economy that's better than it was, and it's hopefully getting better, but it's still not where most people think it needs to be in terms of employment, in terms of deficit situations. And so, and this, by the way, is the other justification for multilateralism. Like, let's have the French and the Italians and the British help us and help, frankly, pay for this. So right, that's, he adjusts the cost. This is also why he wants to keep it close-ended, why he wants to keep boots off the ground. But that's the person's frustration is exactly what I think a lot of Americans who are opposed to this are feeling like. Yet one more war, yet one more expenditure in a region far away, and is this even in our national interest? And again, that was the case he was trying to at least make last night, was that this was in our national interest and in the human interest to do this.
Nick in Milwaukee. Hi, Nick.
Hi. My question is, once Gaddafi is ultimately removed, what kind of environment exists in Libya. Are we going to face kind of an Iraq nation-building situation with multiple factions vying for power and a civil war? And then what would America's role be in trying to maintain stability and the whole nation-building concept?
Yeah, we only have a minute and a half for the answer to that one, Professor
sure.
PBS.
Great question. I've been concerned about this. And, in fact, I initially was concerned about the no-fly zone and the intervention for this very reason. Like, what does post-Gaddafi look like? It could be messy. It could look like Iraq. I don't think the U.S. is going to be heavily involved in this. I think that's the whole purpose of the London meeting today. I think, you know, the American officials are there saying, we're not going to do this. This is Arab League, African Union, NATO, this is your job. If there's going to be chaos, if there's going to be a piecing together of a post-Gaddafi republic, you need to handle this. We're not going to have our boots on the ground doing this. And frankly, I think that will be the case. I do not see us involved in the rebuilding effort extensively, especially on the ground. But then the question is, who does it? I think it has to be some combination of the African Union and the Arab League and NATO, where the U.S. is not heavily involved. And it's going to be putting these ethnic groups together, these tribal groups back together, and see if they can govern as a coalition. And we know from Iraq and Afghanistan that can be a tall order.
Well, I want to thank you very much, John P.V. House, for being with us. It was good talking to you again.
Thanks for having me.
John P.V. House, Professor of Political Science and Public Affairs at UW-Madison, co-author of Principles of International Relations. Thanks to Rob Farah, to Bill Mertens, and to Chris Molina for producing this hour and producing all of these programs. Thank you for listening and for calling in. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. Stay tuned for another edition of On Your Money. Get ready with your personal finance questions. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.